yesterday. And today we will speak a little bit more about it.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. Ganati Mirandasya, Kilanjana Shalaka, Chakshurunmiritamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Akanda Mandalakaram, Vyapta Yena Chara, Charam Tatpadam, Darshitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. What am I doing here? I sing the hell, all the present. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha yasya prasadadagyupi sadhyak sarvagyatam vrajasa shri chaitanya devame bhagavan samprasidatum vandenam tadbhutaishvaryam shri chaitanya mahaprabhum ichopiyat prasadatsyat bhakti shastra pravartaka. I offer my respectful obeisances to the unlimitedly powerful Lord Chaitanya, by whose grace the most fallen person can become a preacher of bhakti shastra. From Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna's Karaj Goswami. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasaji Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Before beginning everything or anything in the Vedic culture, a priest or priests usually declare their goals. Like before every yagya, one says, on such and such day, this and this person performs such and such yagya, or chants such and such mantra, whose rishi is this and this rishi, whose devata or deity is this deity, and whose purpose is this purpose, vini-yoga. So usually, before every ritual, there is a vini-yoga, or purpose. So yesterday we discussed 12 purposes. Also, you can see in your books, in Prabhupada's quotes about Bhakti Shastri, in the bottom here, that a Prakrita Bhakta is someone who doesn't study scripture purposefully. It's on page 3. So we need to have purposes. And connected to that, I ask you to do some homework. Who remember that there is some homework today? Okay, very good. Who remembered that there are two parts to homework? Okay, very good. Who actually tried to do at least one part of this homework? Okay, excellent. Who actually did both parts of homework? Very good. Very good. Excellent. So, one part of homework was to was yes, okay, that was one, and the other part was what can we find in ourselves that makes us humble and more receptive to the teachings of the Shastra, or Sri Upanishad. Who was trying to think about this humility? What makes us, what do we have to be humble? What reasons do we have to be humble? All right. So, can you share this with one person, with your neighbor? Is it something that you can share? So can you please turn to your neighbor, and can you just share what makes you, between the two of you, you can say what makes you humble. So the task was to meditate what can make me humble, what makes me humble in my life, why do I need Krishna's instructions in the Shastra. So what good reason for me would there be to actually seek Krishna's instructions? What makes me humble? Can you also find, come up with something? Okay. So then maybe I, so everybody has a pair, so we can be three of us. Yes. 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 Did, so, did you do you have something?
Not really. I spaced out.
All right.
I read Ompuna.
Okay. Good. Good. Good.
In the introduction.
Yes.
What's the question again?
So, what is? Do I have some good reasons to be humble enough to seek instructions from Krishna? Because our problem is that we think we know everything, oftentimes. And we discussed that when you distribute the books, very often the person, you tell them, you know, this is wisdom. Like they say, oh, I've lived enough to have my own wisdom. Or this gives happiness, and they say, I'm happy. You have no humility to seek for anything. I was thinking about this when I was chanting my japa, and because it actually helps to be more humble when chanting japa. So I thought about the application, point of application of all we are studying, that despite chanting, despite practice, I don't think I need to record all of this, I just can put it on pause. Yeah. So as I mentioned yesterday, yeah, yes, yes. That faith means I'm fool, I'm a fool, and Guru knows better. So Guru Parampara knows better. All right. So we need wisdom. And wisdom is based on knowledge. So here in our 12 aims, which would be wisdom? Anybody could try to tell me what is wisdom here? Yes? Shastra Chakshu, okay. Seeing through the eyes of Shastra, so that's already a vision. It's not just remembering shlokas. So remembering shlokas is this knowledge. Understanding is better, but Shastra Chakshu, that's already including realization, all right? You had
the red ones.
The red ones. Okay, so the red ones. Anybody else wants to volunteer some other guess?
Responsibility.
Responsibility. Okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah, actually, Rasamandala Prabhu rearranged this list. This list was in a different order, and then over the years, while teaching it, he and other devotees, they rearranged this in a more like increasing order. So evaluation would be a very important part of wisdom. You know how to evaluate. Find the true value of everything. The true value, verte, of everything. You find the true value of everything, right? Evaluation. So you have some dilemma or some decision, and you can evaluate. You can say yes. This is. You can prioritize. This is more important. This is less important. That's why we are stressed out usually, right? Because two or more things seem to be equally important. And we become, we are freaking out because we think, how can I, you know, we are conflicted. That's the reason of the conflict, because we think two things are equally important and I cannot do them at the same time. And we are very stressed out. But if we learn this art of evaluation and we can say, okay, this thing is, in modern management systems, they teach you in your schedule to always put A1, B2, or C1. So this is, A means like it's very important to do. It's essential. You cannot live without doing it. But maybe it's not urgent. Maybe you can do it tomorrow or after 3 days. And another thing, maybe very urgent, like you get a letter, and or you can, there are some news, or even there may be a guest, or there may be a phone call coming. It's very urgent. If you don't press within a few seconds, it's gone, right? But is it important? So when we learn to prioritize, also in our personal sadhana, like Srila Prabhupada, he was saying, you probably know this quote, that first comes swastha, health, then sadhana, then seva. And I heard some versions, so this was from Dhananjaya Prabhu, who lived, who was the TP in Vrindavan for a long time. He said he heard this from Prabhupada. First health, then sadhana, then service. Because if you don't do sadhana, what kind of service will you do? If you are not healthy, how can you do sadhana? Like if you destroy your health, you get insomnia or some heart problems or some other problems, you're not there, you cannot come to Mangalarati, or you cannot chant in the morning or something, right? So we see the priorities, different levels of priorities. And then, and also, two more I heard from another place are Shastra and Sadhu Sangha. So, but I don't know if it's coming from Srila Prabhupada or that was already. I heard it from one of ISKCON gurus, Chaitanya Chandracharan, but I couldn't find this in Prabhupada's conversations. This the first about three, that's Dhananjaya Prabhu said that he heard it from Srila Prabhupada. So evaluating and prioritizing. So this is wisdom, and this is something we are trying to learn. And of course, Bhakti Shastri course is the introductory course, and we cannot get everything. So these 12 goals, 12 plus 3, they have different accents, different emphasis in the higher courses, in Bhakti Vaibhav, in Bhakti Vedanta. So their emphasis will shift to these higher parts, whereas in the beginning, probably even just getting knowledge together, you know, just understanding the logic behind Krishna is a person, I am a person, I am a servant, just getting the theory right is already a big step forward. And then applying this theory, this is the beauty of the process. Any questions so far? Any questions or points? All right. Yes? Yes, it's in your books. It's on page 5. Yeah. So page 5, you have it short, and then you have the short list. On page 4, you have it more explained. And then on the following pages, you have even more detailed explanation with quotes from Srila Prabhupada. On pages 8, 9, 10, you have quotes about all the 12 goals from Srila Prabhupada. Like responsibility for learning, page 10. Prabhupada writes, actually this is not from Prabhupada, 11th canto. The householder should study the Vedas every day. Evaluation. So, like we can read about, 11, you can see. Prabhupada writes, so this is page 10, the last quote on evaluation, 11. You have to analyze that, first of all, I am prominent by my senses. My body means my senses. But the senses are useless unless there is the mind. Indriyebhyah param mana. If your mind is not in order, your senses cannot act. Therefore, mind is superior to the senses, and the mind cannot act if you have no intelligence. So, manasas tu para buddhi. So, and if you can go beyond the intelligence, then you can find out about the soul. So it requires study. It requires education. The education is there. The books are there. The teachers are there. Yeah. So you can please read these quotes and think about... your personal priorities and your personal goal in studying. Now, Prabhupada, in introduction, already began by saying that we have these four defects. So that's why we need Shabda. And then he speaks about how do we understand Veda. He speaks about accepting the Shastric authority. He writes, Vedic principles are accepted as axiomatic truth, for there cannot be any mistake. That is acceptance. For instance, in India, cow dung is accepted as pure, and yet cow dung is the stool of an animal. So this is a contradiction. Yeah, in one place it says that you shouldn't touch stool. If you touch stool, then you have to take bath. And in another place it says cow dung is purifying. I remember once devotees were on Sankirtan, and they were renting some house, and they were renting, and there was a kitchen. So devotees brought with themselves or they found somewhere on place, I don't remember. So they had a tin with cow dung, and it was a fresh cow dung, and it was on their kitchen table, you know, to purify everything. And then the landlord came into the room, and then he saw that on the kitchen table they have some food, this can with cow dung in the center, and he was shocked. He said, why do you have this here on the table? What do you do with that? Why do you put it on the table? So, certainly, looks contradictory. Of course, it was found that cow dung has antiseptic qualities. It kills germs, and it's actually purifying, even in some ordinary sense of the word. Not only of course, we know from the Veda it's the abode of Lakshmi. So all the demigods tried to take place somewhere in the cow, and Lakshmi was late. She came late. She couldn't find any place. So the cow said, well, I have only one thing left. it's not taken. it's in the Mahabharata. So that's why you're supposed not to step on cow dung, because it's Lakshmi. that's why it's very purifying. That's her abode. So what do we do with contradictions? So this is one contradiction. Also, there is another famous contradiction that Prabhupada often brings up. Anybody knows the other example of the contradictions that Prabhupada often quotes? So one is the stool, and the other is? Conch shell, yes, the bones. Yeah, bones are considered also impure. And the conch shell is a kind of a bone. You know, it's a skeleton of the sea creature. Now, we sometimes find contradictions in the Vedas, right? So what do we do with the contradictions? When we find a contradiction, what is the solution? How do we find a solution to contradictions? Anybody knows what is the general approach? How to reconcile contradictions? There are some injunctions from Jaimini, Mimamsa. What do we do with contradictions? Huh?
Blind faith.
yeah, blind faith. That's our favorite approach. Either blind faith or blind rejection. Yes. Either it's all correct or it is all wrong. right? Both. And Hridayananda Maharaj always jokes how blind faith is always looked down upon, criticized. But blind rejection, it's okay. It's academically acceptable. Even though it's as blind as you know, blind acceptance. So that's why we have this number 9 here, Shastric authority. How do we accept authority? So what do we do when we have a contradiction? Let's have an experiment. Let's make an experiment. This occurred to me for the first time when I was studying mathematics. And I started studying Bible in the university. Okay, so what do we take? Can you please give me that mridanga? All right. So, let's say that we need to simultaneously accommodate two things. All right, I'll take my books. All right. So, there are two statements, right? And we think that they are, Shastra says that they are simultaneously true, and we have to accept both of them, right? So, we think that usually what it means, you have to put them, you know, on, like, simultaneously, right? So, that's what we are. That's what happens when we have a contradiction, right? We try to fit them together, and it doesn't work. Anybody has an ingenious solution for this problem? Well, let's say that's the space in our reality that we have. Only this side. What do we do? Yes, it's very easy. So, if you have two statements that don't fit simultaneously, then it means that one of these statements is more general, and it's true in general, and one of them is a detail or a particular case. They don't have to be on the same level. Again, you know, this evaluate, prioritizing. What is first, what is second. And then very, very nicely, you know, easy. Nothing falls out, no problem, right? So that's what we do with contradictions. Find what is a basic statement or a general statement that's true in most cases, and then find a statement which is a detail, which is a particular case. So here, what is the general statement about the stool? What is the basic statement? Okay, it stinks. Thank you. Yeah, it's dirty. And what is the detail or a particular case? It's cow dung is an exception. Cow dung is pure, yes. So, this is the same with everything. In fact, there was one guy who in 1932 published research which shook the foundation of modern science. And it's still shaking. He was a friend of Einstein. The guy's name was Kurt Gödel. What is it? Kurt. Gödel. He was an Austrian. You know him? He's very famous. You can find his name in books on logic, on mathematics. He's one of the most famous, actually. His theorem, which has been absolutely proved, is one of the most important theorems of the 20th century. Kurt Gödel. So in 1932, he published one book about, it's called The Incompleteness Theorem. He was giving some critique on the book by Bertrand Russell, famous atheist, rascal, and sorry. And there was another one, Whitehead, I think. They published Principia Mathematica. This was a beautiful idea of the beginning of the 20th century, that you can just explain everything with some basic physical laws. You have basic physical laws, and then you have logic, and then put one on the other, and everything is very logically explainable without any contradiction. And you don't need any God or anything, any Shastra, scripture. You just need logic, good brain, research, like this. And they published volume 1 of Principia Mathematica, you know, mathematics from beginning from axioms, you know, just A equals B and B equals C means that A equals C. Remember? Axioms. These are axioms. The basic truths of mathematics. And then comes, in 1932, comes Gödel, and he says, well, guys, I don't know about it. Let's see. And then he says, well, it may take a little intellectual effort here. So it has two parts. So if axioms, everybody knows what's an axiom? We mentioned, so axiom is when we say A, you know, so axiom is like the basic truth of mathematics, like A equals B and B equals C. It means that A equals C, right? It's an axiom, one of the main. It's the basic building. There are just like four or five or six axioms. And and from that, everything else, they build everything on this basis. You studied this in the school in the third grade or fourth grade, probably, in mathematics. And then comes... we studied this in the school usually, right? And then comes Gödel and says, hello, guys. According to mathematics, if axioms are not contradictory... And that's what we want, right? We want, because if you have one like this and the other one says, no, it doesn't mean that A equals C. It says the opposite. Then, you know, contradictory. You know contradictory? Widerspruch. So if two axioms are opposites to each other, you know, how can you deal? You know, it's illogical. It's violating everything. But he says, if axioms are not contradictory, then, with full mathematical certainty, then the system is incomplete. And B, if system, if any given, in other words, there are some true statements which cannot be proven. In other words, there will be always something improvable, unknown, unknowable, and indetectable. Always something beyond the limit. On the other hand, if the system is complete, so if you can prove every statement by the axioms, then he says, sorry guys, and then at least two axioms will be self-excluding, mutually excluding, contradictory. Let me see. So, contradictory, widerspruchlich, axiom, problem is the same, axiom. 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 Hmm?
French.
Axiom, well, just a second, let me... truths. Axiom. Well, axiom is axiom als absolut richtig erkannter Grundsatz. This is ein Grundsatz. Okay, Grundsatz. Gültige Wahrheit, die keines Beweises bedarf. Keines Beweises bedarf. Gültige Wahrheit, die keines Beweises bedarf. Und zweites, nicht abgeleitete Aussage eines Wissenschaftsbereichs aus der anderen Aussagen deduziert werden. It's the same. So, axiom. This is like axiom. And this is eine... Grundsatz, absolut gültige Wahrheit. And so he says, if this Grundsatz, diese Grundsätze sind nicht widersprüchliche, dann diese System ist nicht
vollständig.
Ist nicht vollständig. Und wenn dieses System ist vollständig, dann mindestens zwei Grundsätze werden widersprüchlich. So in other words, what he said, you cannot have a nice, just beautiful logical explanation. You need a look from outside the system. You have to get knowledge from outside. So this is, for us, it's Shastra, knowledge from outside this universe. And it was a big blow. And he was the only big scientist in the 20th century who actually tried to write a book with a mathematical proof of God. He tried to write a logical, mathematical proof of existence of God. Of course, he didn't publish it during his life, but because it was not very popular. And he was a close friend of Einstein. He was often having talks with Einstein, discussing with him Einstein's theories. So, in other words, you cannot have complete picture unless you have contradictions. Just like with if whatever we take. Shall we take for another example? So, all right. So, tell me, what is this figure? Yeah, it's a round circle, right? This is a round circle. Now, what is this figure? It's a rectangle, right? How do you say it? Vierecke, whatever. You know? Not a vierecke, but it's a... Well, but a projection, you know, if you just have like this. So, you have contradicted yourself. Now, just before you said it's a circle, and now you're saying it's a rectangle. How is that? But it's both at the same time. If you look from here, it's a circle. If you look from here, it's a rectangle, more or less, right?
Which one is more important?
Yeah. Depends what you need to do. Yeah. So, that's why you see... we needed Lord Chaitanya to actually come and resolve the situation by saying bheda bheda. He said it's simultaneously one and different, and it's achintya. It's beyond the material, it's above the material level. I remember when I started reading Srila Prabhupada's books, Bhagavad Gita, I was a Buddhist at that time. So I was searching for nirvana. So I liked what I read. But I had doubts. I thought, maybe Krishna is just the highest God, not the absolute. Maybe impersonal is higher, maybe Krishna is like, you know, like Brahma or the highest good, not beyond good and bad, not transcendental, but just the highest good. So that was my doubt, big doubt. And then I continued reading. And then I found, 13th chapter of the Gita, where Krishna says, I'm inside and I'm outside. I'm close and I'm far. I am the source of all the qualities, but I'm free from all the qualities, all the material qualities. So then immediately I could see, oh, okay, so we have some so-called contradictions, which can only by these contradictions. They are not real contradictions, they are paradoxes. More properly called paradoxes, which give a full picture. So, and then I read that Krishna married 16,108 queens, and he's the most renounced. So I thought, oh, okay, that's a good contradiction. All right. But then, because I had a doubt, maybe he's just, you know, like the highest sattva-gun, like, you know, like the Mayavadis thing, that his body is made of sattva-guna. And then I read Krishna book where it said that when he was a baby, he was going to his neighbors to steal butter. And if he couldn't steal butter, then he would pinch the children and he would pee on the floor. I thought, oh, that cannot be just sattva-gun. This must be transcendental. this has to be transcendental. this is too contradictory. So that convinced me. So this is why we have so-called contradictions in the Veda. We have to have a proper understanding of these contradictions. That they are not contradictions, they are paradoxes. They are the complete picture. They provide this complete picture. And if you ever speak with some scientific people, you could just mention this guy, Gödel. They will be very impressed. And mention the incompleteness theorem. You can say that incompleteness theorem proves that we need Shastra. Because from inside the system, you cannot see, you cannot get the full picture, the whole picture. All right. So this is how we accept Shastra. We accept them as authority. But with which we use logic. So after accepting Shastra, after accepting the authority of Shastra, we try to logically understand how it fits together. Logic is applicable only to some information. If you don't have information, well, there's nothing to be logical about. What logic doesn't produce new information. Logic just says, does it fit together or does it not fit together? So we accept, as Prabhupada wrote in one letter to Chaturbhuja, he said that there is mental speculation and there is philosophical speculation. So we reject mental speculation, but philosophical speculation is okay. So he said, mental speculation is, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Everybody can make an experiment if you have some water. You have glasses, right? I don't know if you have much water. So mental speculation is to think, is Krishna really the taste of water? And philosophical speculation is to think how Krishna is the taste of water. So that's philosophical. You accept the authority of Shastra, and then we try to see how it... Sometimes we find contradictions. I know in my experience, sometimes I have to wait for 2-3 years before I find the answer. Recently, I found an answer to a question that I got 20 years ago. Only recently in newly translated Gopal Champa, I found one answer to a doubt I had 20 years ago. So sometimes we have to be patient, tolerant. Well, my doubt was... Anyway, I'll tell you this after the break. It was not a big doubt. Okay. Now, so this is how we accept the Veda. Now, why authority is better than just sense perception or logic? Who found some arguments? Why is it better? No. Who didn't find any arguments? Is there anybody who didn't
because
find?
It's the source.
It's the source. Okay. All right. So can we maybe get into 2 or 3 groups and discuss? Yeah, we can have. So you have your. We can have 3 groups of 3 people. So maybe you 3. And then you 3, and then you 3. And you can discuss what are the arguments, why Shabda, or accepting Veda, is better than just being guided only by sense perception or only by logic. Yeah. So you can discuss it for 5 minutes and see. Okay? Is it clear? Yes.
What was his conclusion at the end that there must be a God?
Yeah, all the way. But by this, he destroyed the naive picture of physics and mathematics, that you can just have it, you know, very clear, logical, from ground up. But it's not so easy. They are still struggling with that. They cannot. So authority is better than senses and logic for getting the absolute knowledge, although we don't reject logic or the senses, but for the absolute knowledge they are subordinate to the authority. This is the highest source, and the Vedas, there are four Vedas, and in the Veda, each Veda there are four parts. The highest part is Upanishads, which is the philosophical part. Upanishads are summarized in Vedanta Sutra. Upanishads themselves are called Vedanta sometimes. And Vedanta Sutra is explained completely in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the process is serving the Lord. This is what we... try to get. Now let's read the invocation. The invocation is in Sanskrit it's called Shantipat. You can see that this same invocation is used in different Upanishads. The exact same invocation is used in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This is not the Upanishad herself. This is the beginning, the auspicious beginning of the process of studying the Upanishad. This is one of the verses we have to know by heart, and it's also very beautiful. Let's chant. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Atta Sri Upanishad. That's the usual beginning. Now we study Sri Upanishad. So the text is very simple in the Sanskrit. In fact, most of these texts, if you learn a little Sanskrit, they are simpler in Sanskrit. Sanskrit is a very deep and capacitous. It can keep a lot of meaning. One word can have a lot of meaning. So there's basically one word repeated here. What is this word?
Purnam.
Purnam. And what does it mean?
Complete.
Or in German, voll. It's actually probably coming from the same word. We have also Latin. It's coming through Latin, like plenary. So this is coming from purna, full. In Slavic languages, it's the same word, polny, purna. It's a word that's pervading all the Indo-European languages. So basically, what is said here is that this is complete and he is complete. And from the complete comes complete, but the complete remains complete. Now, this is full, that is full. And from that full comes this fullness, and the full remains full, complete. So it's very simple. Of course, Srila Prabhupada gives a little bit more philosophical translation. You have English? Can you please read it aloud?
Such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance.
Yeah. So this is the... How do you have this in German?
Der persönliche Gott ist vollkommen und vollständig. Und weil er völlig vollkommen ist, sind alle Dinge, die von ihm ausgehen, wie zum Beispiel die für uns manifestierte Welt, als vollständig Einheit vollkommen ausgestattet. was immer vom vollständigen Ganzen hervorgebracht wird, ist ebenfalls in sich selbst vollständig. Weil er das vollständige Ganze ist, bleibt er die völlige Ausgeglichenheit, obwohl so viele vollständige Einheiten von ihm ausgehen.
Alright. So, if you concentrate on this translation, it's very philosophical and maybe a little difficult to remember. For the exam, we do not require that you remember the literal translation here, just the meaning. And if you just remember the meaning of Purnam, then it's not so difficult. Yes. So, from Purnam comes Purnam, and the Purnam still remains Purnam. Yes. From complete comes complete, and so this world is complete, and but the complete Lord remains complete. So, for example, that bottle there, as you can see, it's no longer complete. Yes? Why? Because the complete bottle was drunk out. Somebody drank from there, right? So, and the material thing, we think that if you take something from something, then it's no longer complete, right? But it's not so in the transcendental. Also, mathematically, there is a theory of sets which can also explain how you can take complete from complete and complete remains complete. Did you study mathematics? Yeah. So there is theory of sets. There are different infinities. So infinity which is countable, and there is infinity which is countable, and there is infinity which is uncountable. So it's called continuum. Between any two points, you can take a third point. So this infinity is considered if you take unlimited. There is unlimited points here, and it's the same whether it's this big or this big. It's the same unlimited. So it's the same complete. In mathematics, it's more easy to. I mean, they study this in higher mathematics. It's part of mathematics. For us, it may sound a little too transcendental. You know, how can it be that from complete comes complete and it still remains complete? However, we see this happening in this world, like the example Brahma Samhita gives, like fire. You can have a candle light another candle, so and this candle still remains burning. This fire still remains fire. So. It's at least some glimpse at what does it mean here. Any questions to this verse so far? Who has read the purport of this verse? Okay, thank you very much. So in the purport here we have three main points. Three main completenesses that Srila Prabhupada describes. What are the three main forms of completeness or aspects of completeness that Prabhupada speaks about here? Sachit Ananda. Okay, so who is complete in that description? Sachit Ananda. Who is Sachit Ananda Vigraha? Huh? The complete whole? And Uddhava? Krishna, yes. So Krishna is complete. Krishna is complete. And this is Sachit Ananda. Sachit Ananda. And Vigraha. So he's a person. Prabhupada uses his first argument. This will be the topic of the essay for the assessment. Arguments of Sri Upanishad against the Mayavad philosophy. So there are several arguments in the first mantra, in invocation, in the first mantra, in the 15th mantra, in the 16th mantra, so, and throughout there are several logical arguments, not only Shastrical but just logical. And here comes the first argument that Prabhupada gives. And what is this argument against Mayavad? If he is complete, he must have a form. Why?
Because otherwise, yeah, be complete.
He would,
something would be missing.
As compared to us. Yes. So Prabhupada says, it's at the end of the first paragraph. Thus, the complete whole is not formless. If he were formless, or if he were less than his creation in any other way, so if, you know, we have a form, this creation has a form, so if he didn't have a form, it would mean he's lesser than us, right? So it's not logical that he doesn't have a form. So if he were less than his creation in any other way, he could not be complete. The complete whole must contain everything, both within and beyond our experience. Otherwise, he cannot be complete. So it's a logical argument, right? So this is the first argument Prabhupada gives against Mayavad philosophy. In this. So that's the first completeness Srila Prabhupada speaks about, and the verse speaks about, Om Purnam Ada. Ada means that. Yeah, so Purnam Ada, he is complete. And Purnam Idam, this is complete. Yes, Om Purnam Ada, Purnam Idam. So he is complete, and this is complete. Right? It's quite simple. So the second completeness he speaks about is what? So first we had Purnam Ada, and now Purnam Idam. So who is Idam? Living beings. That's the third thing he speaks about. And the second thing? Knowledge? This world, yes, material world. So, material world is also complete. What is a synonym of complete? You know any synonyms of complete? I think we even had it. Yeah, we have it here. One of the synonyms, vollkommen. Perfect, right? So this mantra says that this world is perfect. Is it shocking or not? How is this world complete? Who can tell me? How is this world perfect? Everything is under control of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's
although it seems incomplete, somehow there is always a reason why things happen.
There's always a reason why things happen. Oh, that's very, very good. Yes. Okay. Yes. We think it's not complete because we are not connected. Yes, Prabhupada writes here, this is the beginning of the third paragraph. All forms of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. So, this is all forms of. I found that there was some version which is shorter. Maybe this is a shorter version. Yes. Alle Arten der Unvollständigkeit werden erfahren, weil das Wissen vom vollständigen Ganzen unvollständig ist. So, that's why we feel imperfectness, because we don't have complete knowledge of the complete, so we are not connected. So now, this is something that I would like you to do after the class, to think about ways in which each one of us, each one of you, personally, individually, is incomplete. What imperfections are most sorely, most badly felt by you? Which imperfections, what is the main imperfection, one or two imperfections that you feel that makes you feeling incomplete? So just write it down. And and try to think how Krishna conscious can make it complete. How Krishna conscious can turn this imperfection into perfection. How can Krishna make you complete, make you perfect in this particular regard? Being connected to Krishna again can make you complete. This is something I want you to write down for yourself. You got it? So now, I would also like to ask you to do a little meditation as you chant japa tomorrow. So remember, what is my incompleteness? How do I feel incomplete? Where do I feel lacking? Something is missing, where I'm imperfect, what is missing? And meditate how Krishna can make me complete. How in Krishna consciousness, through Krishna consciousness, I can become complete. Is it clear? The task, the savgaba is klar? Das or die avgabe? Die avgabe. Okay. All right. And that's the third shocker. Well, it's not a shocker. No, it's a third. It's a second shocker. It's the completeness, as you already mentioned, as Christian Prabhu already mentioned, that jiva or living entity, a living entity, is complete. So we experience incompleteness only because we are disconnected, so we have to reunite, reconnect. Yeah? And Srila Prabhupada gives the example. He gives one example. What example does he give in this purport? Of why do we feel incomplete? Love. Let me see. He speaks something. He says, hand, yes, thank you. He says, all services in this world, whether social, political, communal, international, or even interplanetary. Prabhupada is, you know, interplanetary. We don't have many interplanetary projects, even in Switzerland, which is the seat of UN and so many international projects. Do you have something interplanetary here? Prabhupada, even interplanetary, will remain incomplete until they are dovetailed with a complete whole. Dovetailed is a funny word. It's like a dove is a pigeon and tail, it has like parts. So it's a term from carpentry. So you take one part, the other part, and you dovetail, and then it's dovetailed together. Like in carpentry, you have these seams, like, you know, in the like somewhere here, maybe like this here, I don't know, it's usually dovetailed, you know, these joints, so they're like this and you dovetail them, like teeth. Yes, so that's the carpentry term. Carpentry, how do you say carpentry in German? Okay, yes, good. Right, so the example Prabhupada gives is the hand. So if the hand is connected, it's very useful. But if we see a disconnected hand, it's a horror film, right? It's a horror movie. And if this disconnected hand tries to act independently, that's, you know, total horror, right? And how can and you know, what's the point of the hand? So just recently, one of my very, very good friends who brought me to Krishna consciousness, in one sense, Tota Gopinath from Dortmund, he was fixing an apartment for Namahata and he cut off a piece of his finger. And so, you know, this piece of finger, if they find, so that was the first thing I asked, did you find that piece of finger? Because now they can't know, reattach it, reunite. But they said, no, we found only the nail. Because it was, you know, we couldn't find it. So we are like that cut off, you know, thing. And Krishna consciousness, we are reconnecting. And we become, you know, alive and functional. You can get happiness and life back into ourselves. That's what we are trying to do. And that's what the Upanishad is teaching us, to reunite. Also, like, some parts, like when you disassemble a watch or something, or some mechanism, and then some part is left out. Just like I found, I found one little part. Oh, it was in Ljubljana, it wasn't here. Yeah, it looked like some part from a watch or something, from a clock. But when I found it, what do I do with it? You know, it's just throw it in the garbage. You know, what, it's like no use. But if it's in the watch, then it's very, very useful. Then it's very necessary. So we are trying to be independent, and we... Our problem is we cannot find our place. But when we fit, when we reconnect ourselves with Krishna, when we align ourselves with Krishna's arrangement, then we experience perfection. So how this world is complete? It's complete, as you said, very. It was a very subtle point Krishna Prema Rupa mentioned. It's complete because it has... it's according to Krishna's plan or reasons or arrangement. If you know Krishna's plan, everything becomes perfect. We understand, oh, that's why, that's how. Oh, okay. All right. So then second reason is, Prabhupada gives, is it's relatively independent, like independent, like we see that every country, nowadays we are becoming more and more interconnected, but relatively, you just at any place you can have a few acres of land and you can live there, right? You can grow food, you can have, can be pretty much independent, theoretically. And third reason was, so Prabhupada says, arrange to produce everything necessary. And the third thing is that everything has its own time, complete time. So it's complete in the sense that it exists one time cycle. So it has its own time and it exists for this time. And in that sense, it runs its complete course that it has to run. We will discuss this later, how to see Krishna's plan, how to experience this world as perfect. Devotee experiences this world as perfect. That's why he's happy, because he can see Krishna's plan in everything. And if you're not happy, means we don't agree, or we don't see Krishna's plan, or we don't agree. And this invocation starts with Om. Anybody knows what is the main meaning of Om in Sanskrit? Very funny, actually.
It's spoken out like Om.
It's written as Om, but it's spoken usually Om. It's written as Om. There are three letters. Om. So the first meaning of Om in Sanskrit is yes. When you want to, like when Krishna told Subhadra, take Balaram and bring him over to Rohini's womb, and you yourself take birth in Yashoda's womb. She said, Om. Yes, sir. Yavol. So, Om means yes. Prabhupada says we should become God's yes men. Now we are saying, no, 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 this, oh no, no, oh no. But a devotee says, yeah, yes, 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 Om, Om, Om. Krishna, like that, okay, yes, I surrender, I accept. Because he sees Krishna's plan, and we anyway have to accept. So Why don't we also mentally accept and be happy? Accept Krishna's plan. Okay, thank you very much. It's 8:30. See you tomorrow at 6:30. And please remember to do this exercise. Please read texts 1 and 2 and 3. 1, 2, 3 for tomorrow. And please do this exercise on personal incompleteness. So meditate. What is my worst incompleteness, worst imperfection that I feel? And how Krishna can make it, turn it into completeness? How connecting myself with Krishna can make me complete and perfect in this regard? And picture this in your mind. See this in your mind. How Krishna consciousness makes you complete and perfect. And in this mood, chant your japa. Okay? So this is the meditation for chanting japa. Because we are reconnecting with Krishna through japa. That's how we reconnect. If you can manage, you can also do your service. Other service as reconnection, as reconnecting with Krishna. If you are even more advanced, you can even do just even outside duties and jobs as for Krishna's pleasure, as reconnecting with Krishna. Prabhupada says we can see any work, any duty as given by Hrishikesh, the Lord of the Senses, or as part of the Virat Rupa, or part of the Lord's universal form. And you can do it as in harmony with his plan. So is it clear? Any questions? Which text do we read tomorrow?
1, 2, 3, what?
Yeah, mantras 1, 2, 3. Yes, mantras 1, 2, 3.
With the purpose.
Yes, with the purpose. It's not so much. Yeah, it's just a few pages. Questions, points, comments? Thank you very much. Please.